cheating on random guys? The thought made her skin crawl. Compared to that, a life with McReeve was the championship trophy. Why wouldn't she fight for it? Because he detests my entire species? Oh, yeah. So how to make him forget what she was? Before she'd boarded the plane, Monroe had told Chloe that she was like an anti-succubus. Her personality was completely unlike the fawning, deceptive ones he'd known. He'd said, "Just be yourself with Will. If you feel the need to tell him he's being a prick, do so. If you feel the need to kick his arse, do no hold back. He needs you to be... you, with all your attitude." Chloe hadn't understood at the time, and more, she hadn't given a damn what McReeve needed. Now she was starting to read between the lines. Monroe wanted Chloe to continue being an anti-succubus to show McReeve how different she was. As she dressed in new gear, shorts, a jog bra, running shoes, she decided that she'd play this day by ear, reading McReeve's cues as if he were a tricksy fullback, while keeping the trophy in sight. She pulled her hair up in a ponytail, then hurried downstairs. When he raked his gaze over her, his irises flickered. "What? What's wrong?" He growled, "Red." Yes, her shorts and bra were red. "So?" Seeming to give himself a shake, he said,
"Everything fits."
But his voice was rougher. "Like a glove. It's nice having my own stuff again." He scowled, rubbing his palm over the back of his neck.
"You'll have more. We'll head to the city soon. I'll buy you new. Anything you want."
She blinked at him. "Did you not see that haul up there? I've got everything I need." Deeper scowl. "Way to take cues, Chloe." So the guy needed to buy her stuff. "I could use a watch, though."
"Aye,"
he said quickly. "And an iPad and a soccer ball."
"Done."
Mood obviously improved, he said,
"If you vow you will not weaponize the latter. My stones were singing for hours after your last shot."
"Then don't say things that make me want to cleat you in the face." Now she understood why he had. Didn't mean she'd ever let him get away with trash-talking.
"A fate to be avoided. I've seen you cleat someone in the face, and that was before you turned immortal."
He pointed at her shoes.
"You will not need those."
"The importance of arch support can't be overstated. And what if I cut myself?"
"You're not human, Chloe. There's no need for anything support. Hell, you could go without your bra."
She quirked a brow.
"So, that's a solid nay on the bra removal?"
He sighed as if he'd just missed a goal.
"Very well. As for cutting your foot, you'd heal nigh instantaneously."
He seized one of her hips, dragging her close.
"Today, I plan to show you our lands, and what you're capable of."
"Cue taken, McReeve." She gazed up at him. "Then hold on to your ass, 'cause Chloe's about to lower the boom."
39.
"Your pace is impressive," Will told her.
They jogged about a mile from the keep, taking a path toward Mount Connell, one of the higher vistas in the area. From there, they'd be able to see a good deal of the holding. Important, since Will now felt the need to impress her.
"To acquaint her with all I've got."
"I've been holding back." She ran faster along the winding trail, tossing over her shoulder, "to show respect for your advanced age." He raised his brows, treated to a view of her arse swishing in those tiny red shorts. He scrubbed his palm over his mouth. Her arse in motion was like catching a glimpse of the hereafter itself. And she was teasing him to boot? He didn't know what had happened to her between the time when she'd gone up to change and when she'd returned, But something drastic had. Her entire attitude had shifted from pissed to mischievous. Mayhap she was in a cheerier mood just to have renewed energy. Oh, aye, he'd be getting back in that game. As Monroe had pointed out the night before, it was indeed possible for Will to woo her, because he already had once. The plan? Will was to do whatever he'd done on that day he and Chloe had shared. So he intended to court, flirt, kiss, and touch, all while filling her ears with dirty words. And once he'd seduced her slowly over the day, he planned to take her in their bed again tonight. Yet as his wolf gaze followed the back-and-forth swish of her arse, he feared, "I'll never make it back to the keep." When he drew up beside her, he found her running with her face lifted to the sun, her lips curled with pleasure, and a shot of lust hit him like a punch to the gut. Her skin was just beginning to dampen. In a casual tone, he observed, "Your eyes are bright, your skin glowing. Sex with me becomes ye." Her wee bare feet stutter-stepped, but she righted herself.
"You don't look too shabby yourself, for a crypt-keeper. Been meaning to ask you, how'd you keep warm before fire?"
So that's how she'd play this.
"If you get hungry, just let me know."
His gaze landed on her bouncing breasts.
"We can stop for a bite."
"I don't do fast food. Not really into wolfing down my meals."
Ah, he liked her sass.
"Nay, this meal will have many courses. A bounty overflowing. You can feast until you're gorged."
Her cheeks went red again. She gave him a sidelong glance, as if she was seeing something in him for the first time.
"So, McCreeve, how long has it been since you were here last?"
He let her steer the conversation back to tamer ground.
"Hundreds of years."
He'd enjoyed seeing the world and many of its planes, and building a colony had been rewarding. But now that he was back here, the land called to him.
"So, this is truly a jog down memory lane."
He nodded. Memories had been arising, surprising him. Aye, he had tragic ones, but he also recollected picnics with his family. He and Monroe fishing the river as their parents lazed in the sun, gazing at their boys with utter pride. He remembered their da teaching them to ride, their ma'am trying to teach them etiquette. There'd been snow fights with them, and countless tales around the fire. There'd been so much laughter. Before, Will hadn't remembered playing as a boy. Now he recalled idyllic times with Monroe, forts, hunts, chases. He understood Monroe's words,
"Reclaim your past."
When Will and Chloe crossed a brook, an offshoot of the Connell River, he found himself telling her,
"Monroe and I set up a toll on this bridge when we were 7. Clan members paid us in shells, telling us they were akin to gold. We were convinced we'd become big-time merchants."
She smiled.
"Was that before or after the wheel was invented?"
His lips were curling.
"Nary a year after."
When they passed a flock of sheep, she cooed at the prancing lambs.
"Wolves keep sheep? Doesn't that go against the laws of nature or something? Next you'll tell me fox shifters raise hens."
"Anything goes in the lore. Look at us," he said,
earning another appraising look from her. Was he gaining any ground with her? Once they reached the base of Mount Connell, she said,
"Race you to the top?"
Before he could say a word, she charged upward. He'd been so obsessed with her arse, he feared he'd neglected due attention to her legs and tiny waist, to her slim shoulders and graceful arms, to those flawless breasts currently highlighted by a bright red bra. As he watched her body moving, so fit and sure, He was abundantly aware that he'd given her the energy she burned today. She was the picture of health, invulnerable to harm, because he'd helped make her strong. Was there any real difference between how other males provided for their mates and how Will would? Food versus sex? His instinct hadn't differentiated last night, commanding him at once to mate her and to provide. With Ruel, he'd surrendered his seed, fully aware that she would have it from him whether he wanted to give it or not. With Chloe, he'd had to all but force nourishment on her. Could he get her to take it again today? Monroe had asked if Will could handle the venom bond. If the other option was losing her, then he'd take on her bond like a sword thrust to the chest, with regret, but valiantly. After giving her a generous head start, he followed, his easy strides eating the distance between them. But at the last moment, he let her win. When she cast him a triumphant smile, things became very simple.
I feed her. I get days like this.
Atop the peak, he dragged her back against his chest, draping his arms across her shoulders. She allowed it, eventually relaxing against him as they took in the view. He inhaled deeply of the crisp air, smelling the land and his mate's scent. Like this, he was centered as he hadn't been in memory. Mayhap he'd never been this centered since becoming a man. She shielded her eyes from the sun.
Why'd you stay away so long? It's clear you like it here.
I didn't remember how much I liked it.
Monroe thought Will and Chloe belonged here, and as Will gazed out, he suspected his brother might be right.
When I was young, a village flourished near the keep over there.
He pointed to the west.
My family were sentinels here.
What does that mean?
We were tasked with guarding the boundary of the woods of Murk.
He indicated the forest to the south. Just gazing at it made his jaw clench.
What did you guard the boundary against?
It was once populated with all kinds of creatures. Evil ones.
Understatement.
We kept those beings in, and kept our kind out.
So that's why you tensed up yesterday when you gazed out at it. Are they still there?
Nay.
Hundreds of years ago, his rage at Ruel still burning hot, he'd yearned to make war on the woods. Soon, he hadn't been the only one.
When those beings got out of control, when Kyrenos were slithering into our lands to steal sheep and maidens, we gained permission from our king to venture into the woods and hunt them down.
If Will had been molded early in his life, Monroe had been fashioned during those grisly battles, fashioned by what he'd found in a warren in the woods.
All of those beings died in the last accession, he said. Do you know what that is?
I read about it. Every 500 years or so, fate forces different species to war. Lots of death. Scary stuff. And it's happening now, right? Makes me wish I'd taken up sword fighting or knife throwing or something.
She had zero defenses. No fury, killer instincts, or fey speed. She couldn't trace like a vampire or cast witchy spells. All she had was her strew, which she would never bloody use on another.
Do not fret. You've got yourself a protector.
A ruthless one. But on the off chance that something happened to him, he'd need to begin teaching her to defend herself. Plus, intensive training would provide her a distraction, might mitigate the worst of her grief over the Olympics.
Good to know, protector, she said lightly, almost as if she doubted he could protect her.
Or doubted he would?
So what did you do once your sentinel gig was over? She asked.
When the woods grew light once more, Monroe and I were freed to leave, to see the world.
Did you?
Oh, aye. Every continent many times over.
It hadn't been all travel and exploration. They'd loyally served King Lachlan for centuries. When Lachlan had been lost to the vampires, they'd futilely combed Russia searching for him. With the loss of their king, many members of the clan had wanted to leave Scotland. Will and Munro had helped them, developing Benrose.
"And now back you've come," she said.
He rested his chin on her head.
"Munro expects us to live here."
"Aren't you the chieftain of the Nova Scotia clan?"
"He's far better suited for that job. I could step down. Then this could be our home,"
he said in a gruff tone, insecure with this. He'd never even asked a woman out on a date, much less to live with him.
"We could be content here."
She tensed against him. "McCreeve, you don't have to say that. We don't have to talk about the future. Let's just enjoy the day. I don't want you to say something you'll regret later."
"In other words, you do not want me to make promises I will not keep."
"Can you understand why I'm gun-shy here?"
She'd accused him of being a liar. Likely because he'd been such a twatting liar with her. Which meant she didn't believe him when he told her he would be her protector, or that they'd live here together.
"I understand your hesitation."
And for the first time today, he began to sweat. Seeming determined to avoid any deeper discussion, she asked,
"What about the woods to the north? Are they empty too?"
"Legend holds that the old ones live there. Primordial Lyke."
"What are they?"
"If Lyke are men who become wolven, primordials are wolves that become human. They never hurt our kind. Indeed, there are anecdotes of them coming to our aid. But I have not scented them here since we arrived,"
he said with a touch of regret.
"They might have died out."
She pointed to a distant loch with a waterfall.
"Is that part of Connell, too?"
"Aye. Munro and I used to swim there."
"Can we go see it?"
"It's a good ways. Do not want to overtire you."
"Wolf, please," she scoffed. "I'm not the one who's 8,000 years old."
She ducked out from under his arms, then took off down the hill with him right behind her. When they'd reached the loch, she craned her head to gaze up at the top of the waterfall.
"We jumped off that once."
He expected her to express disbelief because it was seriously high. Instead, she said,
"I want to see the view from up there."
He raised his brows.
"It's a treacherous climb."
"For a mortal, right? I thought you were going to show me what I'm capable of."
He waved her forward.
"Then, by all means, ladies first."
"Oh, you're a gentleman wolf now."
The sun was beginning to kiss her skin with color.
"Or perhaps you just want to ogle my ass."
"Suggested solely for my ogling pleasure.
Off you go." He gave her a swat, and her arse did indeed move for a breathtaking split second afterward. She shivered in reaction, because his lusty mate liked a good swat. She'd nearly climbed the walls last night. After clearing her throat, she said, "Behave." And then the show began as she started climbing up the steep incline directly above him, in those tiny shorts. The outer fabric was little more than fluttering mesh, delivering ample glimpses of her arse, but the silky inner lining was like connected panties, taunting him as it covered her sex. Up higher, the mist from the waterfall wetted their clothes. That lining was now clinging to her cleft.
"Gods almighty."
He followed her, cockstand pointed due north and showing no signs of waning. When her foot slipped on a slick rock, he took the opportunity to palm her. Under the pretense of giving her a boost, he shifted his grip. With a tug of his thumb and a swift slice of his foreclaw, he rendered that inner lining crotchless.
"Mercy."
"McCreeve, why do I feel a draft? You cut my shorts."
He grunted in answer.
"You think you're very sly, don't you?"
Somehow he mustered the words,
rewarded with this view. I know I'm the slyest of wolves.
You can let go of me now.
Do you think I will? It's not often a man gets a grip of hot, plump heaven in the palm of his hand.
He squeezed the flesh in his grasp, delighted when he scented her arousal.
Ah, and there she goes. You like when I play with your arse.
In a strangled tone, she said, I'd like not to fall.
When I spanked you last night, your eyes rolled back in your head.
Oh, yeah, and you didn't get your rocks off on that at all.
I do not deny it.
Words left him when she raised her knee, and he caught a glimpse of the dip at her entrance. Jaw slackened, he began inching a knuckle toward it, rubbing his way to that maddening spot.
Cut it out! I'm at the top! I'm serious!
With a sigh, he gave her a heft, sending her up and over the edge to land on her feet. He joined her, found her blushing.
You took advantage of me.
Of the situation, more like, he replied shamelessly.
She cast him a look that promised comeuppance, then turned to take in the view. He knew she'd see the keep in the distance, the two forests, the river winding through green fields. He was staring only at her.
This is so amazing!
Her expression was awed. Okay, you're forgiven. For my shorts. When he stood behind her and rested his hands on her hips, her heart sped up.
You glad you came out with me?
She turned to him, surprising him by saying, I've had fun. When you're not mauling my clothes to grope me.
Still not hungry, though. If you need it, you've only to tell me.
At her stern look, he held up his palms.
Nay, then mayhap after the climb down.
Climb?
It's too high for you to jump, lass.
I thought you said I was all indestructible and everything.
I'm not worried about your body. I'm worried about how you'll react when you see the lock below you. It looks like it's from a bloody circus high dive.
She put her hand on her hip.
I'm not the beeriest pussy, MacReeve. I will be jumping.
Aha. We'll see.
And I'll be doing it topless.
Before his stunned gaze, she yanked off her sports bra, slingshooting it at his face.
That's a solid aye on the bra removal.
Those breasts kissed by sun.
Woman, my mouth waters.
But she'd already whirled around, charged for the edge, then leapt with an excited squeal. He put her bra between his teeth and dove in behind her, the quicker to reach her. 40. Chloe hit the water with air-wrenching force, but she recovered easily, kicking toward the surface with a laugh. Had she ever felt this alive? She'd pushed her body this morning, covering miles of challenging terrain. Bliss in itself. Add in a playful MacReeve. He'd been opening up to her, showing his charming side and his domineering one. It was official. She liked one as much as the other. When she reached the surface, he was waiting for her.
You drop this.
He held up her top with a darkening expression. Shocking him had seemed like such a good idea at the time. Now she was topless with an immortal male who looked like he wanted to eat her for dinner. In fact, that was what she would be doing when they had sex again.
When?
She held out her hand. Gimme, MacReeve. He tossed her bra on the shore.
Oh, I think not.
There was a threatening undertone to his voice, a subtext of, your ass is mine. She swallowed. No, she didn't spook easily in most situations, but this was a sexual situation. Sex had been a mixed bag for her. So she began swimming backward away from him. He steadily pursued.
She didn't think he would hurt her, but then she'd never had a wicked wolf eyeing her like he was about to rail her into next week. At the thought, her nipples got even harder. His gaze dipped. He could see them. She dove away from him, started swimming in earnest. Yet he was right behind her.
"Breaststroke," he said in a rumbling voice. "Sounds like a great idea."
"Not really." The water streamed past her nipples, turning her on even more. Her hair must have come loose because strands tickled across her breasts. She chanced a look over her shoulder. By the way his molten gaze narrowed, she got the sense that he liked the chase. "I think I might, too." Reaching the bank, she scrambled up the edge. He looked like he was about to lunge for her, so she dived, arcing over his head to start for the opposite shore. As she surfaced, he was still groaning.
"That image will stay with me for the next 900 years.
She was gunning for land when he snagged her ankle, snatching her back to him. When they were face to face, he informed her,
"Playtime's over, mate. I mean to be inside you."
Then he looped his arm around her thighs, lifting her until she was forced to bend over one brawny shoulder.
"What the hell are you—"
Smack! Down came his palm across her wet bottom.
"McCreeve!"
She wriggled over his shoulder, no longer surprised by how that turned her on. Her stiff nipples grazed his back with each step he took toward the shore.
"That's what happens if you make me chase you."
Another smack.
"And that's what'll happen if you do not make me chase you."
When he started kneading her there, she bit her bottom lip to keep from moaning. He sloshed through the water to a grassy bank that dropped off to the lake.
"Down you go."
He settled her so she was sitting with her feet still in the water, and with him between her knees. Their faces were level, which meant her breasts were within easy reach of his mouth. He inhaled deeply.
"Rough play got to you again. How I'm going to enjoy discovering everything that pushes your buttons."
"Busted." She lifted her chin.
"And what pushes yours?"
He reached beneath the surface, pulled off his swim trunks, then tossed them on the shore.
"Simple. Tawny-haired female footballers who like to have their arses swatted. Gets me every time."
Her lips parted around shallowing breaths. He brushed a drop of water from the bottom one.
"You're all wet. I told you that you'd never need a towel when I'm around," he said,
raising his hands to cup both her breasts. He bent his dark head over them, lowering his mouth to one. He alternated nuzzling kisses on her nipples. When he scraped his stubble over the tips, she gasped with delight. Then he gave a loud suck on one peak, rendering it swollen red. He moved to the other one, repeating the process. When he blew on them, she cried,
"McCreeve!"
"You tortured me thus when you suckled on my cock,"
he rasped in her ear.
"I'll do the same with your wee clit. Suck until it's throbbing. Then blow on it."
She whimpered. Not fair, and he knew it. His brogue plus dirty words equaled Chloe about to orgasm. He kept at her breasts until she was murmuring "please" over and over.
"Shall I make you come just from nursing your sweet tits?"
How about just from talking? He could make her come from his voice. She beat against his back, but he just chuckled against her skin. Yet when he hooked his fingers into her shorts, she gave herself a mental shake and stayed his hands. She had an agenda, and a championship trophy at stake.
Wait. I don't know about sex."
He drew back to face her.
"What's wrong?"
"McCreeve, twice is really damned close to three times."
She gave a nervous laugh.
"The succubus hat trick?"
She wanted to win him over.
They shouldn't be rushing into anything. And what if she got pregnant from this time? Monroe had said succubi had cycles throughout the year, but he didn't know when or how a cambion could get pregnant. Considering McReeve's past, how would he react to part Ubus kids?
I'm just saying it's a big step, and I don't want you to have any regrets.
We're already bound by fate, Chloe. What if I would do anything to have you? Even something that I'd not envisioned for myself?
Of course he hadn't envisioned a bond with the succubus, but his admission seemed to carry a wealth of sentiment.
Can't we just take this more slowly?
Today she'd glimpsed what life with him could be like, and she wanted it.
I would dearly love to take you when you're not hungry, when you would not strew, when I could have control of my own actions.
Though his tone was even, his bearing told her he was aching for this. Her resistance was melting.
I didn't want to make you nervous, but tomorrow night's the full moon.
What does that mean?
My beast will rise. It'll seek to mate you all night with much more power. I'll have no control over it.
Remember, I don't have a problem with your beast. We got along great.
McReeve's expression was disbelieving, like a wolf sensing a trap, because the bait was too good to be true.
Then you'll receive me under the moon. If I feed you between now and then, you'll be strong enough to take me.
The bond would definitely be completed tomorrow. Today would make no difference. Was she ready for this?
You have to feed Mokria.
My heart,
she thought. He hadn't called her that since the day of her turning. He brushed a lock of hair from her cheek.
I cannot be easy until you have fed at least once a day. Besides, you will not want to miss what I've in store for you.
The sinful look in his eyes made her stutter,
No?
He kissed her neck, her jawline, her ear, telling her,
I plan to lick your sweet cunny right up to the point when it's quivering, about to release right on my tongue. Then I'm going to fit my thick cock inside your sheath, fucking you till you come all over me.
She moaned, You're not playing fair.
She was losing this battle, happily losing it. So why was she still wavering?
Play fair?
He gave a husky laugh.
If you understood how badly I want you, then you would not even expect me to.
Will's shaft pulsed, his bollocks full for her. He loved that Chloe responded to dirty words. Now that he'd learned the power of them, he knew he was just going to get worse. Sex as a man was infinitely more exciting than sex as a beast.
So stay down, creature.
As if in answer, his beast started prowling. When Will reached for her shorts, this time she lifted up to help him remove them. Once she was unclothed, he savored the sight. Her vivid eyes were heavy-lidded, and sunlight glinted off the drops all over her supple body. He would never tire of seeing her breasts swelling for his greedy gaze, her nipples pouting for his mouth. Never tire of seeing her shapely legs trembling with anticipation, the way the tawny thatch of hair between her thighs sheened in the sun.
Lumza, mine.
At that moment, he didn't feel cursed, quite the opposite. Determined to make her come during sex, he decided he would take her to the very edge. She'd pay for all her talk of whiskey dick and uneven scores.
Spread your legs for my kiss.
When she dutifully did, her heart sped up.
My wanton mate loves to be tongued.
As he bent down to her sex, her luscious lips were pink and glistening. He used his thumbs to spread her moist folds wide, then thrust his tongue inside her. She mewed, arching her back and drawing her knees up around his head.
"Gods, you heat my blood,"
he groaned against her. He felt like a race was on, to take her to the brink before he lost his battle with his beast, and with his cock. It throbbed to replace his tongue, was spilling pre-cum into the water. He grated,
"Play with your breasts for me."
Then he set back in, burrowing his tongue into her. With a cry, she lifted her hands, cupping those full mounds. When she pinched her nipples, he growled praise against her flesh. Between deep licks at her entrance, he said,
"My seed's going right in there, right where you need it. Do you crave it, hot and thick within you?"
Yes,
she panted. Her thighs were tightening around his ears, her hands clutching her breasts. Already close. He kissed up to her clit, rubbing it with his tongue.
"Oh, God, McCreeve! Oh, God, I'm about to—"
Somehow he drew back.
"No! Why?"
Legs still spread, she undulated for him with a breathtaking lewdness. So he speared her there with a thick finger. Slippery flesh clenched around it. He took his finger away.
"Feels empty?"
When she could only moan low, he knew Chloe had given him her fire to tend once more. He was steering this encounter. He was leading them. He'd married his mate's will to his. Now, if only he could govern his beast so well. Will dragged her closer, so her arse was at the edge of the bank. With her spread even wider before him, he cupped her sex possessively.
"Is lumsa saw."
She mindlessly rocked to his palm.
"This is mine. Look at me and tell me that."
She opened her eyes. They were green, telling him she was about to orgasm for him.
"It's yours."
"And what are you?"
"I'm yours too."
"Good girl."
He entered her with a swift thrust of his cock. She came immediately, freeing him, lessening his nerves. As her sheath squeezed his length and wetness coated it, he rasped,
"Tapaleth, angel." "Thank you, angel."
Then he plunged into her cum, yelling out to feel it.
"Your honey's all over me."
Her head lolled, her mouth open on a soundless cry.
"Keep the beast down."
This was too powerful to share. Will wanted her all to himself. He wrapped one arm around her arse, one around her neck, lifting her to him. With each thrust, some indescribable need seemed to awaken more and more, one that had nothing to do with his beast or his instinct. He felt like he couldn't get close enough to her, though he'd clenched her body seamlessly to his. He felt like he couldn't fuck her hard enough, though he was pistoning his hips between her thighs. He was inside his mate, and yet he was desperate for her. Madness seemed to dance at the edge of his consciousness. How could he want her so violently? His heart thundered in his ears, his chest felt scored inside. Crazed, he drove in and out of her. Only one thing could make him this frantic for her.
"You're through! It's happening!"
"Huck, can you tell?"
He clamped her nape to meet her gaze.
"Because I am. Thrust. Fucking. Thrust. Ravening for you!"
His roar echoed off the rocks, louder than the falls. When she whispered,
"I feel the same,"
emotions he didn't understand overpowered him. Dangerous feelings. Demented. Dark.
"I'll die without her. I'll bloody die."
He roiled with confusion, his thoughts tangled. Sometime in his frenzy she'd come again. She was now limp in his arms, moaning with ecstasy, simply taking his manic shafting. He clasped her beautiful face, dipping his thumb between her lips. She sucked it with bliss, eyes rolling back in her head. My loss. My loss. Love. When his beast rose up with redoubled strength, Will was too dazed to fight any longer. He receded.
Tend her well, beast. She's yours.
For now. Never withdrawing, the beast maneuvered her body, flipping her so that her front lay on the grassy bank. Pressing her head down and lifting her arse, it pounded into her from behind like the animal it was. It moved her thick mane of hair to bare her neck, gazing at her flesh with longing, baying to mark her there.
Give her enough, but not all.
Will reined the beast back in, denying its bite, allowing only the strongest ejaculation they'd ever known. 41.
Is it like this for other people?
Chloe asked. She and McCreeve were lying on the bank together, reclined on their sides, naked in the late afternoon sun. His smooth, damp skin was flushed from exertion, his muscles still bulging. His eyes were heavy-lidded and warm gold, his beast at rest. McCreeve gave a short laugh.
I know, I've never felt anything like it.
With a grin, she said,
Did your bollocks beg for mercy?
They still are.
She laughed. I used to wonder why everyone was always thinking about sex. I couldn't understand it.
Now I do.
And more, she'd been reminded today of how good it could be between them, her hope spark flaring unchecked. To think she might have missed this if she hadn't given him a second chance.
Hey, aren't you supposed to mark my neck?
End time.
Had his gaze darted?
If we're going to keep doing this, I need to get on birth control. Monroe said he didn't know what my cycles would be like.
You've no need to worry about that.
How can you be so sure? McCreeve, what if I did get pregnant? What would you do?
There. A flash of anguish before he disguised it. Her heart fell. She'd wondered how he'd feel about having children with her. Now she knew. She could even understand it, considering his past. That didn't mean she wasn't hurt. She got up to dress.
Message received.
Then she sucked in a breath.
Would something be wrong with them? Would they be monstrous?
He sat up with a weary exhalation.
Monstrous? Nay. But they could be incubi or succubi.
She stilled.
You just so much as said they wouldn't be monstrous, however, they could be like you.
That's not what I said.
He ran his fingers through his wet hair.
You're the one who wanted to take this slow. The idea of children is a lot to wrap my head around.
She yanked on the wet shorts, searching for her bra.
What if it's already happened? It might have.
Rest easy, Chloe. The talisman you wear has been imbued twice. Once to keep you hidden, and again to keep you from getting pregnant.
What?
She turned on him, draping her arm over her breasts.
You put me on birth control without even discussing it with me?
Your eyes are glowing with anger. Do you want me to impregnate you?
No, but I hate that you made a decision like that for me. That shit might have flown in the 11th century, but not today.
He rose as well, dressing with obvious irritation.
We were not exactly speaking much when I was ordering the talisman.
That was only 2 days ago, yet you're acting like everything's been settled with us.
It has. We intended to start anew, remember? I've accepted that you need to feed from me. I'll claim you once more, and then you'll be mine forever.
I haven't promised you anything, and you're illuminating why that was a smart move on my part. Do you try to hurt me? Or is it just a talent? Because let me tell you, you've hit me with some sharp zingers over the last week. Hey, at least you didn't puke today. Progress!
Between gritted teeth, he said, "This is getting blown out of proportion."
"Do you expect me to wear this bracelet for eternity? What happens when I eventually want kids? Hell, you'd probably just cut off their heads, right?"
"Dunna be ridiculous," he said with a scowl. "If we had children, we'd have to remain away from my clan, for fear our offspring would prey on others."
"Maybe they'd be dormant like I was. We could find out if you ever let me talk to my kind."
"Never."
She saw him digging his claws into his palms, but was too furious to care.
"Never? Because all of them, down to the last male, female, and child, are evil?"
She started off in the direction of her bra.
"I'm sure you've met them all."
He followed.
"You're making more of this than you should."
"I am? So it's my fault that I'm mad, because I am overreacting."
Again, she was one decibel away from screeching. His eyes widened.
"I dunno want to assign fault. That's not what I meant."
She found her bra, yanking it on.
"I thought we had a shot. Thought I could make you see I'm not like the succubi you've encountered before. That's not even possible, is it?"
She was no victim, but that's what she was acting like. A pushover, rewarding his hostility with softness. That was a losing strategy in soccer and in life. He was beginning to look alarmed.
"If you want offspring, even after I've expressed concerns, I'll give them to you."
"You're missing the point. Until you can get right with what I am, until you can imagine having kids with me, there is no hope for us. The thought of having a little girl like me should make you happy, not fill you with disgust. Whatever this is," she waved from him to herself and back, "it's doomed."
"Do not bloody say that."
"You're blinded by hatred, and I won't tolerate being treated like shit anymore. Ergo, doomed. My God, McCreeve, even I'll admit defeat when I'm down 20 points with 2 minutes left on the clock. Anything else is just delusional."
As Will watched her striding away, he chuffed with displeasure. His mate was walking away from him directly after telling him she thought they were doomed. This would set any Lyke's teeth on edge. His beast howled inside, hankering to lope after her. In an attempt to give her space, Will trailed after her at a distance, keeping her in sight. Damnation, he was out of sorts, already wanting her by his side. Not surprising, considering that he'd just experienced some kind of strew-induced transcendent sexual frenzy with her. When sheep got in his way as he crossed a field, he gave a half-hearted growl, sending them scampering. Yesterday, when he'd felt her succubus pull, he'd been sickened. Today, he'd lost the ability to stand, collapsing over her back. When he'd finally opened his eyes, he'd leaned down to kiss the corner of her lips, because they'd been curling with a satisfied smile.
Satisfied. Gods, she pleased him.
Sex with her hadn't just blown his mind, it had tweaked his gray matter forever. What he'd known about bliss was now changed, the upper threshold ratcheted up to record heights. Over this day, he'd had three realizations. First, to possess Chloe as his own, he would let her feed from his body for eternity, allowing her to compel him with Strew for just as long. He might not be happy about it, but he wanted her so badly he would do anything to keep her. Every man had his own secret sorrows. So would he. Second, he didn't know when or if he could claim her with his bite. Withholding it made him feel more in control. Keeping something back allowed him to rationalize all he was ceding. And last, though he didn't dread taking on her venom as much as in the past, it would tie her to him, he didn't relish the idea.
Regretfully, but valiantly.
All his life he'd had a phobia about three times. Now it seemed his mate did as well. No matter. It would happen with their very next time. When Chloe entered the keep, she slammed the door behind her.
All right.
Mayhap he should have told her everything the talisman did when she'd first donned it. Yet, at the time, he hadn't felt consideration for her. And I, that was only 2 days ago, but something had been shifting inside him. He was adjusting to her species, making concessions. Because today, he'd begun to believe they had a future. Right when she'd become convinced they would end? He needed to make some kind of gesture, something to convince her he would try. Will remembered when he'd been 8, he'd broken his mam's favorite vase. Filled with guilt, he'd charged out to pick her flowers, the only thing he could give her. With her gaze twinkling, Mam had ruffled his hair.
"Ach, Will, now it does not matter that I've nothing to put them in."
So what to give Chloe? His eyes widened. The attic of this place was full of treasures. 42.
"Way to lower the boom on him,"
Chloe thought as she scuffed to the bathroom, turning on the shower in the oversized stall. She'd meant to act like her old self, letting things roll off her back, rubbing dirt on it, rolling with the punches. Instead, she'd lashed out at McCreeve. She didn't even want kids any time in the near future. But when she did have them, she didn't want their father to gaze at them with that anguished expression.
"Like the way my dad looked at me that last night."
Did McCreeve still gaze at her that way when she wasn't looking? She wished she could talk to his beast and tell it to whip McCreeve into shape. She peeled off her abused clothing, glaring at her bracelet. That bastard had put her on birth control like she was chattel. If he had to take a business trip, would he strap her into a chastity belt too? Under the steaming water, she winced at her sore muscles. She might have been fed, but she was still feeling the day. Her head ached and her stomach felt weird. She supposed too much running and too much rough lake sex had worn her out. One of her breasts had a grass stain across it, and claw marks dotted her hips.
"Hey, not much different from a soccer match, Chloe."
When she was finished showering, the bed looked too inviting to resist. She changed into her new PJs, tossed a log on the embers in the fireplace, then crawled under the covers. She stared at the ceiling, glad to have this time alone. All these new aspects of her life had been hitting her so fast that she'd barely had a moment to reason through them. For instance, it was now dinner time. She would never eat dinner again. That was going to take some getting used to. Also, she should probably accept her familial situation, as in, she didn't have one anymore. She'd told herself that as long as she continued eating, she might not be totally detrised out to her dad. He might still accept her. Now, the odds looked grim. In time, maybe she could track down Fiore's family, but then McCreeve would never allow her to see them. Noises sounded above her as if he was rummaging around the attic. For what, exactly? It wasn't like there'd be scrapbooks or old yearbooks. No vids of McCreeve's first steps. She'd just closed her eyes when he opened the door and strode in.
"Why are you resting?"
He wore a black T-shirt and beat-up jeans, and he had a smudge of dust on his cheek that made him look less intimidating, almost boyish. She shrugged.
"I'm tired. I think I overexerted myself today."
He tilted his head, surveying her face.
"This will not take long. Then I'll leave you to rest."
He sat beside her on the bed.
"Listen, Chloe, I know I should have told you about the bracelet."
Exhaling with irritation, she said,
"No, you should have asked me about the bracelet before I ever put it on my wrist."
"Aye, that's what I meant," he said quickly. "I regret not asking you."
She sat up, almost grimacing when her headache intensified.
"I need more, McCreeve. I need you to confide in me. I need to know why you hate my kind so much. Why, Even the thought of having kids with me makes you sick.
He rose to pace.
It's going to take more than a few days for me to work through my issues. Can you not be patient with me?
Tell me why you beheaded the last 5 succubi you encountered.
His nostrils flared, along with his claws. From the mere mention?
Over my life, I've killed any I've come across.
A horrific thought arose.
Were you killing one a little over 2 decades ago? Her name was Theory, and she would have looked a lot like me.
I didn't murder your mother. We've obstacles between us, I grant you that, but not that particular one. I vow to the Lord I had nothing to do with her death.
He sat beside her once more.
Here, lass, he said,
drawing a polished wooden box from his back pocket.
I have a peace offering.
What is this?
She opened the box to find jade-green hair combs, each intricately etched with Celtic designs.
My grandmother passed these down to my mother. I thought you might like them, now that you've taken to wearing your hair long.
You want me to have them?
He ran his hand over the back of his neck.
Do not sound so shocked, Chloe.
They belong to the mistress of this keep.
If he was giving her heirlooms, then surely he was starting to work past his hatred.
She grazed her fingers over the engravings.
They're lovely.
She set them on the bedside table, keeping them close.
Patience, Chloe.
He ran his knuckles along her jawline.
I'm an old dog, and all this is a very new trick for me. I'm not saying I cannot change. Just give me time. Can you do that?
How much time?
Maybe with enough of it, he could fall for her. Maybe if he loved her more deeply than he hated other succubi, he could see his way to having kids. By that time, he might have snuffed out what she was feeling for him. She just needed to think about all this.
I'm tired.
She lay back down.
I'd like to go to bed.
His brows rose. She could tell he'd expected her to react differently. When he shucked off his shirt and joined her, she didn't have the energy to rebuff him.
Come, Mokria.
He reached for her, clasping her against his warm chest.
Sleep easy and rest. Everything will look better tomorrow.
The heat from his skin increased her drowsiness. Before she drifted off, she murmured,
Gotta be honest. This clock might have zeroed out, McReeve.
His entire body tensed against her. She didn't care because sweet sleep was enveloping her. In the middle of the night, Chloe woke from an ache in her stomach and another in her head. She found McReeve sleeping restlessly beside her, his chest slick with sweat. Was this the first time he'd slept since they'd arrived? Since she'd turned in the first place? His eyes darted behind his lids, and he moaned, obviously in the grips of a nightmare. As she watched, his fangs and claws began extending, his face growing more wolven. The beast was rising, even in McReeve's slumber. When he chuffed and whimpered, Chloe wondered which horror he was reliving tonight. Rape by a succubus? Battles in the dark woods of Murk? The shock of Chloe's transformation? Then, he splayed his hand over his chest, his claws embedded in his skin, around the spot she'd once kissed with all the tenderness she'd felt for this man. He was dreaming about the torture her father had ordered done.
This is doomed between us.
Accepting that grieved her so deeply. Chloe would be punished by McReeve if she stayed, and punished by her heart if she left. Because she might have gone and fallen in love with him. 43. Will paced anxiously. It was well into the afternoon, yet Chloe still hadn't awakened. The room was dimly lit. A storm raged outside, the sun obscured, the lands dark. Winds battered Connell's bricks, pelting debris against the windows. He sat beside her on the bed to stroke her hair.
Chloe, love?
Why this fatigue again? He must have hurt her yesterday in his throes.